What is going on, Jobber Nation? Welcome back to another episode of Jobber Club Podcast with Vogel and the face who runs the place, Tyler Face. How's it going, well, Face?
What's up, buddy? Guys, we missed last week because of tech difficulties, and we were like, all right, whatever. We'll leave it last week. And then, a lot's happened this week in wrestling.
Yeah, a lot. We're going to do a little bit of a different show than we normally do. We had this format actually set for last week, too. So I think going on with pay-per-view events, especially WWE, is going to take up a lot of time. So we have decided to just strictly, for WWE-wise this week, focus on the events that took place at Crown Jewel instead of doing the Friday night that we missed for SmackDown and the Monday. We'll be doing this format for AEW also, for AEW events. So don't feel like, you know, AEW's got a little bit more talking points or anything like that, which I don't think that's the case today. So if you're an AEW fan, don't be mad. You know, we're just covering Crown Jewels because that was the biggest thing that happened this week.
I mean, with everything basically staying the same. There's not really a hell of a whole lot this week. So.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I think the only thing that I have of any note that actually happened this week was that Zoe Stark is going to be challenging Rhea Ripley at Survivor Series for her women's championship, which I'm kind of mad about, but we'll get more into that, I think, a little bit later. So we did say Crown Jewel was this weekend. Just gonna dive right on into it.
Which match do you want to start with? Because it doesn't even matter.
I'm trying to keep it in order, so I'm starting off with the pre-show that seen Sami Zayn defeat JD McDonagh by pinfall. Sami, he had that main event push earlier in the year with battling Roman, and now it just seems like there's really no spot for Sami on like a main event. He's more or less pushed down back to the mid card now, especially with KO going to Friday Night SmackDown again.
Yeah.
I just don't see where Sami goes from here, really. But it's also going to be interesting to see where JD McDonagh goes. If he actually joins the Judgment Day, if they actually let him in, because I know the one thing about the Judgment Day is that they like winners. Yeah, they hate to lose. They hate to lose. And we've seen it before when Dom lost his United States Championship over in NXT. Rhea told him, don't come home unless you win it back. And he won it back that next Tuesday. So it's going to be interesting. Could you possibly see, like, JD McDonagh going forward? Could you also see this being almost like the Bloodline situation where Roman added Sami into the mix and Sami tried to destroy it essentially? And could you see JD McDonagh being that piece that could try to break up the Judgment Day from within inside?
Ooh.
Because if you look at it, his name's JD. Judgment Day. JD. So, I mean, he could be like, yeah, this is my ship now. I'm the captain.
Right.
You know, you never know. It's just one of those things. I mean, that's something that I thought about that could have happened, but I honestly don't know.
You know what? That's your theory. You run with it. Like, I've got a theory. I've been running with like 2 or 3 months now, and I'm just waiting to drop the mic.
Just waiting to drop the mic and walk away.
Just waiting.
I mean, it's going to be interesting.
I keep seeing things to my theory adding up, but bro, you want that theory? Run with it. Run with that shit.
I mean,
how many times do we got to keep throwing shit in the universe and it just comes right back?
Sits in
your life like a big old baby.
I mean, you're the one that jinxed it that one time with saying, "Yeah, I want to see Ric Flair fight one more time."
You know what? Man,
and here we go. Signs a multi-year contract.
I was just kidding.
But you threw that shit into the universe.
He's like a billion years old, man. I was kidding.
I mean, it's that Woo energy drink, man. It's what's keeping him alive. But the first actual match of the night, if we're not counting pre-shows, we see Seth freaking Rollins retain his WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
I wanted McIntyre to win that just because I'm so sick of the same shit over and over and over.
Do you think that you would like to, that you would prefer it though if Seth Rollins was actually repackaged back to like the Architect or back towards, you know, his days with the
before with the Authority? Yes.
The Authority type thing.
Yes, I kind of wouldn't mind seeing that.
Because right now, I mean, he's the way he's, you know, is right now as his persona. It's so over the top, but yeah, it's so Seth Rollins if you actually know the guy, where he likes to do like the goofy things like that, and it's just, you know, it's just Seth being Seth. But I think he definitely probably needs to be repackaged at some point in time because honestly, it's kind of getting old.
Yeah, I mean
the crowd singing his. Go ahead.
A lot. I mean, it's just, it feels like it needs to step back, learn some more shit, and then shoot forward. Not really learn some more shit, just, like you said, I guess repackage, learn how to...
Different gimmick in general.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. But I'm honestly, I'm not mad at this match, though. I felt like Drew and Seth both busted out their full arsenal that night. I mean, you had Seth hitting the pedigree like he used to do when he was with the Authority, and then he combined it with a curb stomp, so it's just classic Seth. But I think that Drew McIntyre would have been definitely the better choice of dethroning him.
I haven't seen him in a main event in a while,
or like
a big main event,
or competing for a main, you know, a decent championship in a while. It's been since I think the COVID era when he got that push.
Yes.
When he got that real first push, and it's just like after that, we kind of just pushed him to the backfire, had him team up with Sheamus for a little bit.
I didn't mind that. That was, I like
that. It almost reminded me of The Bar almost in a way, the way that they set it up a lot with him and Cesaro back in the day.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
I think that it would have worked perfectly, but then again, you always want Sheamus to be a natural heel, and then Drew McIntyre at that point was kind of still a face at that time, so it's like, this doesn't really make much sense, but we're gonna run with it anyways. And then they end up having a match against each other. So I guess the question going now after this match, not even question,
where did that go?
Well, not just that, but Damian Priest was attempting to cash in his Money in the Bank contract at the end of that match on Seth Rollins.
Wasn't it Jay?
It was Sammy that came through the crowd and took the briefcase and ran away.
Why did I think it was Jay Uso?
I think Jay ran some type of tried to come down there or something. I do believe that, or that was Friday night. I can't remember. Everything was blur.
Yeah, it's been a blur lately.
Oh yeah, it has been. But do you think, you know, not only do we have to look at what's next for Seth, but going off of that not really failed cash in, but Sammy stealing the Money in the Bank contract, do you think we could see a match between Sammy and Damian Priest on like a Monday Night Raw, winner gets the contract? We've seen it before.
But it
wouldn't be that far-fetched to think.
You know what? You're throwing it into the universe. Hey, what do I keep saying every time?
Oh yeah, it's gonna happen. Something's gonna happen. But it also just like makes you wonder too. You know, is Damian Priest gonna be that next guy up for Seth Rollins, regardless of his Money in the Bank contract? Because right now it's just, I don't see really anybody else. Who has been getting a push lately, if you would.
Nobody's been getting a push lately, except for Rhea Ripley. I don't know why they keep pushing Roman Reigns. Zero sense. Cody Rhodes, I mean, let's just get over this.
Off a little
let's
bit.
Get this goddamn thing, whatever it is, over with. John Cena's he's out the door.
Especially since
I don't know if you heard the
actor strike.
Yeah, the strike is over.
He's tentative, yeah. Yep, so yeah, that's definitely going to happen. And I think that's the only reason why The Rock was really back for that 1 week, too, is because the strikes were going on not only with the writers at that point in time, but the actors, too. So I think that's the main reason why Cena and The Rock both came back for a short time. Yeah. And I don't think it's going to be anywhere towards, like, Cena trying to get that WrestleMania, not WrestleMania moment, you would say.
I'd like to see him into WrestleMania one more time. That would be super cool. But I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it is either. Because, I mean, as we already look, we already have technically a part-time champion with Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
With Roman deciding to take pretty much the rest of the month off and possibly not come back until the start of the first of the year. It just kind of leaves everything, you know, are we going to push
to make it to the match after Thanksgiving, but I don't know how plausible that's going to be.
Exactly. Yeah, because that's around
the already be season. In Chicago.
Exactly. So, yeah. That'd
be pretty dope.
It would be. It definitely would be. I guess, could you see, regardless, could it be either Sammy or Priest going up against Rollins if that situation does happen with the Money in the Bank?
Sammy's already went against... Wait, no. Okay, you said against Rollins. I was thinking Roman.
Yeah, against Rollins. Okay, no. We've already seen that. That's already been off of Roman's checklist.
I think it would be Damian Priest going against Rollins. I think I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I'd like to see it too. I mean, especially since Priest has been in the industry for a while. I mean, this is his first actual big run with WWE. He's been getting that push ever since he's got the Money in the Bank contract. And just to see Sammy just take it was kind of actually pretty funny, because now it leaves in doubts, will this actually be a match set up, you know, like I said? Or it could be, hey, could be Sammy's consolation prize too. Have him beat Damian Priest in a match, maybe for the Money in the Bank contract, and say, hey, we know you didn't beat Roman, but how about the World Heavyweight Championship instead?
You know, I could see that happening, but I'd much rather see Damian Priest
get Yeah. Especially since the Judgment Day is on such a, you know, a high as it is. If he
gets it, it'll be him, Rhea, Dom, and don't they have championships?
The tag championships? I don't think they do anymore. Let me double check into that, because I remember them losing it to Cody and Jay, but then they won it back the next week, but I'm not for sure.
I think they are because
no,
I know I should have been on top of this.
Yeah, there's still the Judgment Day as of October. Well, yeah, that's October 16th. So yeah, they still have them. It looks like. So yeah, they still have championship gold. So Finn Balor will still have some type of gold too. So
sorry, my cat was biting me for some reason. Weirdo.
So if this does set up a matchup between, like we expect, Seth Rollins and Damian Priest later on probably within the next, you know, two pay-per-view events, do you still see him possibly cashing in on Seth just for that championship, even though he might be, you know, he might lose these matches? Do you still think that he's going to cash in? Or do you think he'll go after Roman now that he's got his eyes set on the prize of Seth's first and then still having that option in the contract?
I don't know.
Because we already thought...
That's just me.
Yeah, because we all expect Roman to possibly return probably at Rumble, maybe even sooner than that. But I'd say... set this matchup between Priest and Rollins, and then if that doesn't play out, Priest doesn't win, then you could possibly see maybe Priest try to cash in on Roman when he returns, but I don't see it being a successful cash in.
Yeah, I can't. I want him just to go head to head in a goddamn steel cage. See who's actually the big dog.
See, yeah, exactly. But so I think we're
Roman Reigns has been through a few of them, and Damian Priest hasn't been in a cage, so
that is true. So I think we're both in agreement that Seth's going to challenge, not just Seth's going to challenge, but Priest is going to fully challenge Seth next for the World Heavyweight Championship. I'd like to see it. I mean, both guys are decent wrestlers. I mean, they both have their own styles, and it would make for a great match, I honestly think.
It would be, because you don't see either one of them getting up in the air. This is going to be a ground fight. This isn't going to be an air fight.
Well, not just that, too, but Priest is more old school, too, and the fact that he uses the Razor's Edge as a finisher.
Right. Oh, shit.
So, I mean, that's even more old school right there. And then you got Seth Rollins busting out the pedigree or the curb stomp. So,
yeah,
they all have a lot of arsenal. The next match we had of the night for Crown Jewel was the Women's World Championship was retained by Rhea Ripley as she defended it in a fatal five-way against the likes of Nia Jax, Raquel Rodriguez, Zoe Stark, and Shayna Baszler. Yeah, we all knew. I mean,
there was no question. You already knew it was going to happen. They're not going to rip it off of her.
Exactly, but I think that before we go into, I think it's the next match of the night as it is, maybe even two matches down the road. But I thought this belt right here was probably the most likely to change hands of the night out of all of them.
I didn't think it was even going to move. I was thinking.
Because I thought that the best superstar to defeat her would have been Raquel Rodriguez.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And since it is a fatal five-way, the champ doesn't have to be pinned, so I think it really worked in her favor. But it obviously didn't, because Rhea retained. And, yeah, I thought definitely it could have switched hands, but at the end of the night, I knew that Rhea was going to pull out a win. And I was actually.
I already knew it. I'm sorry. Like, I seen. I'm like, yeah, they're not taking it off of Rhea. There's no way.
Exactly.
She's still high in her prime, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially with the roster as it was. Not the roster, but as the match itself was. I mean, you had the likes of Zoe Stark, Raquel Rodriguez, and Rhea Ripley, all superstars that were developed in NXT and are still really young in the industry. Then you had the likes of Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, who've been around for a while and have, you know, they're up there and they're putting over the younger talent, essentially, which I like.
Right.
But I wish that, you know, we would get more of these matches between the younger stars like Rodriguez and Starks to face off against Ripley. And it looks like we will be getting that, because it was announced on Monday Night Raw that Zoe Stark, like we said, will be getting her shot at Rhea Ripley's championship at Survivor Series War Games.
I am actually, so I screenshotted it. I am, so they've got a 4-on-4 match at Survivor Series War Games.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Jey Uso, and Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
Versus the
Judgment Day.
Judgment Day, yeah. Why did I just blank on that?
Oh, because
I'm looking right at him and I couldn't even.
Well, it's Judgment Day with, I think, JD Madonna too. Yeah. So it would be Priest, Balor, Mysterio, well, Dirty Dom, and JD for that. I mean, that's going to be pretty awesome. I think this will probably be like the first Survivor Series that we've seen that actually has a War Games to it, which is pretty awesome. I think that's WWE's like secret bread and butter right there, because they have been able to do these War Game matches pretty damn well in the past. So I'm actually excited for that.
Right. I do, actually.
But do you think, since we had that match announced on Monday, that Rhea will be defending at Survivor Series against Zoe Stark, do you think that they booked the right person to go up against her?
No, I don't, but
I don't think either.
That's what
I honestly don't think. Because if you look at it, we haven't seen really much of Zoe Stark on WWE television since Trish Stratus turned her back on her in that steel cage match against Becky Lynch.
This is very true. That's been
I think it's going to be like a quick little push for her. I think it's going to be one of those situations where she goes up, she gets beat, and then it's going to be a long time before we hear back from her. Maybe she goes back down to NXT, competes for the NXT Women's Championship. But I think it's nothing too big for Rhea to overcome. I think, like I said before, Raquel Rodriguez was probably the better bet. But unfortunately, you had a battle royale to see who would win it. And battle royales don't necessarily give you the best person.
Battle royales kind of just suck nowadays. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they do. I mean, unless it's the Royal Rumble, but battle royales, yeah, they suck. Let's see. The next match of the night, we've seen Solo Sikoa defeat John Cena.
Yeah, I'm not. I was kind of bummed out, but I guess I get it.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Cena, he's been putting over talent like crazy lately in the WWE. He put over Austin Theory at this past WrestleMania. He's putting over LA Knight, and now he's putting over Solo Sikoa.
Over a lot of talent.
Oh, yeah.
He just needs to, like, go back to Hollywood. Sorry, bud.
Do you think with him putting over as much talent as he's been putting over, do you think this is his way of slowly stepping away from the ring and maybe possibly retiring?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
Oh, yeah.
I do too. I think
prime Cena. The Fruity Pebble. Fruity Pebble John Cena, bro.
The Fruity Pebble John.
Well, my aunt works at Post Cereal.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I get shit all the time, and I used to get them boxes all the fucking time. Yeah. That's what made me like him even more.
I mean, he's pushed over, like I said, Austin Theory, who's a young guy, Solo, who's a young guy, and even LA Knight, who isn't as younger of a talent. But, I mean, of course, you and I both remember him back in TNA. As Eli Drake, but he's still put him over to get that push that he probably would not necessarily have gotten a bigger push if he wasn't endorsed by Cena.
Yeah.
I'm all for it though. I'm all for him pushing the younger talent. I'm all for it because it's showing that he's actually wanting the company to succeed longer in the long run with these guys getting experience, because that's the only way that these younger wrestlers are going to learn how to do things properly, to cut a promo properly, to wrestle properly, is if they get the in-ring experience in front of people.
This is absolutely true.
It kind of almost reminds me in a way, but of how Kurt Angle did it when he had his final match. He helped push Baron Corbin over by giving Baron Corbin the win at WrestleMania 35. But then again, WWE didn't do shit with it and pretty much buried Baron Corbin to the depths of hell. And now he's trying to crawl back out and wrestle at NXT.
Yeah, they buried the hell out of him. They threw him to the dogs.
Oh, yeah, they did. With Solo's win over Cena, do you see him slowly breaking away from the bloodline?
Eventually, yes, but not yet.
Yeah, I think so too.
He's still too soon, too new in the. Jesus Christ. He's too new. Yeah, he's too new in the group yet to even leave, so they're going to use him as much as possible.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a situation where he finally snaps at some point in time.
He's going to snap Jay or Jimmy?
He'll snap on Jimmy first because Jimmy's in the bloodline.
Yeah.
He'll snap on him first, and then he'll go probably after Roman after that.
Yeah.
Which I'd be excited to see that. I could see them right now doing like they have been doing with the bloodline, giving like a little bit of like a push between him and Jimmy for the tag team. I don't think it's a bad tag team. I just think that, like I said before, with the straps being unified, and not having one brand really have a championship anymore for tag teams, I think that it really hurts, because you could make this tag team work, honestly, and it would actually mean something. But nowadays, it doesn't really mean anything, because you don't have that number one contender spot anymore. It just seems like whatever two guys fit, they're just throwing at them now.
This is very true.
And I think now, too, especially with Roman taking some time off, I think it would also help if they did, you know, push Solo a little bit as a singles wrestler to showcase his skills and give him some more of that experience. Because he wrestles just like his uncle Umaga, and it's just like Umaga was a beast. So if he has one third of talent,
I got to see him wrestle, bro. Dude, that was so sick.
He was a hell of a wrestler, and it's sad that he passed away at such a younger age.
I got to see him at WrestleMania Revenge I get to see Shawn Michaels.
Ooh.
Grisky, I think his name was, the dude with the fucked up ass
mouth. Oh, Snitsky?
Yes.
He punted the baby
show,
too.
Show. That was pretty dope.
Oh, that's pretty cool, yeah.
John Cena wasn't there. I think Jeff Hardy might have been there.
So, yeah, it had a pretty stacked card.
It was a pretty decent card for 2011.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's definitely during like prime Umaga too, you know. Oh man, we are moving on to the match of the night that I absolutely hated. Logan Paul defeats Rey Mysterio for the United States Championship.
Can we just say fuck Logan Paul? Although I'm not gonna lie, I just listened to his brother's podcast the other day, and it was pretty fucking good.
But what I had down in my notes, actually, word from word, this right here is why Fox didn't want to renew the television contract. This right here.
All the comments in my head. I don't spread them until the show.
Yeah, this is why.
I just screenshot things, and that's how I take my notes.
This is why they didn't renew it, because now, you already, like I said before, you already have Roman, who's going to be essentially a part-timer for the rest of the year. And now you have a part-time United States Championship, part-time United States champion. What the hell? You wanted to make this belt prestigious again. You were trying to give Rey a nice run. And it looked like it was starting to actually mean something again, like when Cena used to hold it for a long period of time, you know? I mean, I wasn't looking for like a record run like Roman has with his championship, or like Gunther has, but you know, a decent run. And then you pull some WCW David Arquette type shit, right, and you give a shot to a guy out of nowhere who didn't even deserve it, and yet pinned the strap on himself.
They're just using Logan Paul for like, hey, look at me, blah, blah, blah.
I understand. Well, I understand that they want to tap into the market that Logan Paul has developed, especially him as a brand himself, with his Impulsive podcast and Prime.
Prime is fucking disgusting. Let me get that up there. My kids love that shit. It's so fucking disgusting.
It tastes like watered-down Kool-Aid.
Thank you. I'm not the only one.
It tastes like you remember when like your mom would be like, you go up to your mom and say, hey, I want some Kool-Aid. And then mom's like, we have Kool-Aid at home, but it's like that off-brand shit.
But that's old school Kool-Aid.
I know, but that's like the equivalent to it, though. Yeah, you know?
You're not
mom, I want some Gatorade. Oh, we got Gatorade at home. It's Prime. But yeah, just give me a strap. I mean, how pissed off are you if you're mid-carder in that locker room and Logan Paul just walks in and has the strap pinned around his waist?
Did you see the picture? Oh, dude, I'd be like, yo, fuck this. I don't even
care. Yeah, I'd be asking for a release right then and there.
Did you see the pictures of him having the belt?
Him and I seen those today. I seen those this morning with him and his girlfriend or whoever. He had it.
I'm like, bro, that's shower. Disgusting. That's disgusting.
Dude, he's trying to be like HBK. Remember when HBK did that photo shoot and he was like buck ass naked except for the championship around, belt around him, and he was laying down.
You know what?
That's what he was trying to view like it. I mean, it's just, I mean, it's stupid to me to even have Logan as a champion. I mean, I understand that you brought him in for something. I just wasn't expecting a championship. I mean, I know he was talking about it from like a few months ago, how he wants to be a champion, but I just didn't want to believe that it would actually happen. I mean, I understand the kid's got athleticism. Yeah, I'm not hating on anything like that. He's good, but it's just like, I don't know. And the only way I see this as a win in WWE's book, like I said, is because he'll get the championship's going to get exposed on YouTube to all of his viewers of his podcast.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to bring new fans to the product that typically wouldn't watch it.
I'm going to grab a water real quick, dude. My throat is on fire right now.
All right, yeah, you go ahead, man.
I can still hear you, though.
Oh, yeah, you're good. You're good. It's just, yeah, I think that I speak upon everybody when I say that it was the wrong thing to do from the get-go was to put the strap on him.
Oh, yeah, and absolutely.
Just even everything leading up to Crown Jewel, it kind of gave me that feeling that, hey, something's going on, you know. Something's going on, and this is going to switch hands, and I'm not going to like it.
Sorry, man. My throat's been on fire all day.
Oh, you're good, man. You're good. I think the only championship I think the only championship, if you were to pin a championship on Logan Paul, was to bring back the 24/7 championship from the dead and just hand it to him.
Bro, for real. Because I literally, you said that, and it just like lit the light bulb. That's the one he should have had.
Yeah, because if anything, I mean, that's for like celebrities and shit like that as like a one-off type thing. I mean, hell, even Rob Gronkowski even won at WrestleMania 36.
I miss him. Okay, hey.
I mean, he could. He would be a good addition.
I gotta show the fans something. So just give me 1 second. But yes, right. I miss Rob Gronkowski. I do, because I thought he was fucking awesome. Okay.
I mean, he had the speed too. He had the size. I mean, he was everything Vince wanted in a wrestler. So I mean, why not have given him that little contract?
Right.
Because if you gave him that contract, I mean, we probably wouldn't have Logan Paul with the United States Championship.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Rob Gronkowski would have laid his ass out.
Yes.
But in all of this, though, I mean, where does this leave Ray?
Ray, I don't know. Like, dude, I love Ray Mysterio. He is nostalgic. He is amazing. What the shit? So I know we will talk about this here in a few minutes, but Ray, I don't know. Like, do you think this is going to lead to his retirement, or do you think he's going to try to go for another belt, or what do you think?
I don't know how they're doing rematch clauses nowadays with championships. I know that they changed it a while ago.
Isn't it like 24 hours or some shit like that?
No, it was the fact that they're trying to do away with people who lost it to ask for another rematch, you know?
Yeah.
So I think I honestly think that Logan's just a filler champ, honestly.
I'm glad you said that, because I agree with you 1,000,000%. Because
why else would you pin it on him? I think Ray's going to take some time off. I think he's going to probably either focus on LWO with their feud and Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits. But I also think he's going to take some time off to really enjoy being a father and watching Dominic's rise in WWE.
You know,
because we have seen that he is proud of him and stuff like that, breaking the kayfabe and all that he is actually really proud of how he's been, you know, doing over the last year. And I think that this could possibly maybe set up Dom versus Ray at WrestleMania, maybe Ray's final match.
You know what? I really liked when they were tag teams and then he turned on his dad. I loved that. I hated that I loved that, but it was needed.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was, because I think, honestly, Dominic actually did better when he was surrounding himself with the Judgment Day. You know, his promo skills still need a little bit of work, but he draws that heel heat instantly whenever he touches the mic. So, I mean, that's something that he has going for him, and I think that that it's going to be really hard for him going forward, you know, with that.
I mean, I think Dom has overstepped a lot of shit. Like, overcame. Because he's been around the business forever, but now then he was champs with his dad, which that was super dope. I love that.
Yeah, first time ever too.
And then him splitting up, and he's like, you know what? I want to do my own thing. I've watched you, and I've been your tag team partner for whatever amount of time. Let me do my own thing now.
I'd be
upset about it, but I'd be like, you know what? I have to let him do his own thing. So
exactly, you know, like that article that you showed me that he gave that interview on, he pretty much was not in kayfabe or anything like that. He was just talking one-on-one. He said, this isn't a shoot. This isn't, you know, kayfabe. This is me actually talking about my son, and I'm proud of where he's going, you know, how he's becoming a superstar now. And it's just cool. I think, like I said, I think, you know, he's going to linger around in the back a little bit to help LWO against the Street Profits and Lashley. But I think, you know, other than that, I think he's going to probably take some time off. I don't know if he's not necessarily challenge Logan Paul again, but I can definitely see him possibly winning the United States Championship back again at some point in time.
Yeah, he will. You know what? I'm gonna let's light that on fire and throw it into the universe.
We're gonna light this one on fire. No one's gonna see this. It's gonna be Rey versus Roman at WrestleMania.
Hey man, it was Rey versus the Great Khali, so
yeah, we keep always mentioning that because, you know, of course, the Great Khali was over 7 foot tall too. But how many successful championship defenses do you think Logan will have?
You know what? I think he'll have probably a half dozen, maybe a few but like snake wins.
Yeah. Know? Oh yeah. Well, that's how he picked up the win anyways. He had the brass knuckles, you know? So
they'll all be snake wins until like they throw him in a cage or
they're not they're,
like that would be super sick.
I'm sorry,
in my brain.
I'm sorry, but they're not gonna throw Logan Paul in a cage.
Oh god, that would be amazing.
That would ruin his moneymaker so bad that he would quit YouTube.
Do you know how amazing that would be?
It would be, but it's just stupid. I mean that's stupid. I mean, it's stupid the fact that he has the championship.
I mean, it's kind of dope, though. I'm not going to lie. That's cool.
I mean, stepping out of
YouTube to get to the main roster. That's pretty.
It almost reminds me of a way that maybe a few months ago, NWA, they had their NWA championship pinned on Tyrus. You remember him?
Slightly.
The big dude, the Funkadelic.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the Funkasaurus.
Yeah, Funkasaurus, yeah. Well, anyways, they pinned it on him, and he was like late 40s, early 50s, and he was on the Fox News Channel as a regular panelist. And that's the only reason why Billy Corgan pinned the strap on him was to get exposure for NWA. And hope like heck that NWA could get a decent TV deal, we'll get to that a little bit later too about NWA and their TV contract.
NWA.
We had Io Sky retaining her WWE Women's Championship against Bianca Belair. Towards the end of the match, we seen the debut of Kairi Sane making her WWE return and helping Io Sky pick up the win over Bianca Belair.
Oh, I'm trying. I lost my thing I was going off of, and I don't know what I did with it. I had all the matches on my little screenshot, so.
Oh, you're good, man. Do you think that with Kairi Sane coming back to WWE, that was a former tag team member, tag team partner of Io Sky? Do you think that this spells trouble for Damage Control as it is? Because we've seen it with Bayley already, as it, you know, she hasn't had that decent control over her faction. She hasn't had that ability to keep everybody all in line.
Honestly, that group, sorry, it just needs to fall apart.
I think it will.
They've not been doing much with it. It's been a shit group. Sorry to the ladies that run it, but it's not their fault. They're just getting fed orders to do whatever they
exactly want. And I think,
dude, it's not a very good, it's not well developed.
Established, developed, yeah. But I could see, I mean, we were all excited for the debut, not the debut, but the return of Bayley, Io Sky, and Dakota Kai at last year's SummerSlam. The only thing that we have gotten out of that group so far for Damage Control, really of anything of note, is Io winning the championship. And I think that it's going to spell trouble because, like I said, she was with Kairi Sane and they were the Sky Pirates back in NXT. So I think that this could be the domino that finally pushes over and really destroys Damage Control. I could see a potential new stable with Io Sky, Kairi Sane, and Asuka.
Because
Asuka has tagged with Kairi Sane. They won the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. And Io Sky, she's tagged with Kairi Sane too. So, I mean, it just only makes sense, especially now that Asuka is older too. She's in her early 40s.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice that.
She's in her early 40s, so I think it would be like a nice little like managerial role for her almost. I mean, not saying that she can't wrestle anymore. She still can. She's one of the best women's wrestlers in their locker room. But I think it would be a nice change of pace for Asuka.
Sorry, I was hacking my lungs out there for a second.
You're good. But with all these possibilities going on, do you see Io Sky dropping her WWE Women's Championship soon? Do you think that this
could
be like a distraction
for her? I could see it could be an accidental loss. I could see like one of the girls accidentally fucking up and
costing her a match.
Yeah.
Kind of like, that or could be like a spot too, like John Cena and Sheamus, remember, for the WWE Championship where Sheamus, loser, whoever got put through the table lost, and Cena lost his balance on the top rope and fell down and went through the table, and Sheamus was the champion.
Yeah.
I mean, who do you think?
I actually forgot about that match.
I'm just throwing this out there since we throw a lot of stuff out there and it seems to somewhat
throw it out there. Throw shit on the wall, it may stick.
I'm thinking that this little stable is gonna eventually crumble. I'm thinking it's gonna be Bayley versus Io Sky for the women's championship. And Bayley.
Now how do we get there?
Well, it's going to take probably until the next year, of course, because you can't do a good feud and within a short time span. So I'm thinking that Rumble. Ooh. I'm thinking that Rumble, the entire faction's disbanded. I see Bayley challenging Io for the Women's Championship. And I see Bayley for the first time in like 4 years turn face.
You know what? I could see that. I could see that.
Bring back the hugging Bayley where everybody gets a hug. Bring back the wacky inflatable tube man.
I'm sorry. I hated that. I hated that version of her.
I know.
But I liked her. I liked her, so I kind of was like, okay,
yeah.
That's weird.
Okay, well, let's go around with it. Yeah, exactly. Or do we see Jade Cargill possibly making her debut to challenge the champion? I mean, we already seen a vignette that teased her versus Charlotte. I mean,
okay, sure.
We could
bye bye. sorry.
Well, we could have that match, and then that could lead up to her versus Io, but I think that would be way too much of a push too soon for her, especially with how green she is. I mean, not saying that she can't wrestle, but I don't think she can wrestle at the pace and the speed of Io Sky.
Right.
Oh, we have another. The other match that took place was Cody Rhodes finishes another chapter in his long-ass novel that he is writing as he defeated Damian Priest.
I actually got that one right. I think, let me see, I've gotten two right out of all eight matches.
I think I went like half. I think I went 50-50.
I had Cody Rhodes and Rhea Ripley, and the rest, they got their asses handed to them.
So it's clear. I mean, Priest wants the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, as we both discussed earlier. Do you think that this loss will affect his push that he's gotten?
No.
I don't think so either, honestly. I think he's still going to be that guy that they're always going to be looking out at. Especially,
I think WWE is doing too many storylines being like this with too many people. Like Damian Priest and Cody Rhodes. There's no reason for that.
It gives a feel of like the Attitude Era where we had the the Ministry of Darkness going up against the Authority.
Oh.
It gives almost like that feel where every week was just
my little friend.
More matches against like each faction, you know, and it seemed like that's what they really built themselves off of. I think that the WWE today has built themselves off of the Bloodline and the Judgment Day, because if you cut the Judgment
last
Day,
3 to 5 years has been nothing but like Roman Reigns,
the Bloodline, and
the Bloodline,
yeah,
but I'm gonna say the last two
have been Judgment
two
Day.
And a half, three. It's Judgment Day.
Yeah, so
maybe,
I think
because that's when Rhea Ripley was slowly walking up that ladder.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that if you go ahead and you take the likes of the Judgment Day, let's say you disband them and you disband the Bloodline, WWE honestly doesn't have much.
There's nothing
There's nothing there. I think that they are actually having a hard time as it is trying to figure out what's next for them, where they're gonna go.
I see that. I actually see that really a lot right now.
Because if you look at it, I mean, Cody, why are you going after, if you're Cody, what incentive do you have to go after the Judgment Day?
Right.
Besides just getting more wins, you know. It just feels like they're trying to, I don't know. I just don't like where it's going. I think, do you think that Cody's is going to be like, all right, I already took out Damian Priest. Who's next? Dirty Dom and Finn, are you going to take them out too? And then what's next after that? You'd have to, you know, Roman's going to be on the shelf by the time you're done with those two.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's really, I don't understand why he is going that way or why they're making him go that way, but.
Do you think that creative is trying to give Cody like a little bit of a streak going before he goes to WrestleMania and possibly takes on Roman Reigns?
I could see that. Give him
to make
all
it streak versus streak. You know, I haven't lost in so many days. Well, I've held this championship for 4 years. You know, type shit going on. So I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, who knows? We could see. We always talk about. You know, taking time off, and that's what it is right now. Cody's kind of like in wrestling purgatory right now. You don't know where he's going to go next, what storyline he's going to be falling into, how it's going to connect to his story in general. I think that the best thing for him to do too is follow Roman's footsteps and probably take some time off, especially since, you know, it is the holidays coming around. You know, spend some time with Brandy, spend some time with your kid. And just come back.
Doesn't Brandy work for WWE, or does she still work for AEW?
She followed Cody's path. She followed Cody to WWE, but there's no clear like position, I guess you could say,
okay.
Because she's not like listed as like an active wrestler. She might be doing like producing or something. Even though she has been trained in the ring, no one wants to see her in the ring.
Okay. I want to kind of throw what I've been seeing every day this week at you right now. So,
oh shit.
I'm going to share my screen. Hopefully I know how to do this. Okay.
We shall see.
This one, and this one, and this one.
All right, we will see. Ooh.
Hey, buddy, check this out. CM Punk is on the WWE page now. Oh, and he's not been on here for a very, very long time. You tell me if I'm fucking crazy or not, if he's coming back.
The only way we'll know if he comes back is if Pro Wrestling Tees takes down his personal store.
Oh.
That's the only way we know he's officially coming back, because they have taken down his merchandise before when rumors were having that he was possibly going to WWE before he signed with AEW. They took his store down then, and then a few weeks later they put it back up. I think that's the only way that we will actually get 100% 100% sure answer, because I know WWE doesn't like wrestlers really making a profit any other way unless it comes from WWE itself. And I think with Pro Wrestling Tees being associated with AEW and being their main merchandiser, I think that that's the only way that we'll actually fully tell, is if something like that happens. But other than that, I mean, it's all speculation. I've seen pictures of Seth Rollins with a Pepsi can. I've seen pictures of WWE members drinking Pepsi I've
seen a lot. I've been
so. Who knows?
Open.
Who knows? It could be one of those things where. But if you do bring him back, how much are you promising him? Like, what are you promising him?
You better promise that mother trucker a lot.
Exactly. Well, not just that, but how fast do you think he'll get that main championship belt? You know.
Sorry, I've been saying all week, bro, and I'm just I'm talking to my girl about it, and she's like, I have no idea what the hell you're talking about. I'm like, this is for me. This is all for
exactly. This is all for me. We are moving on to the main event of Crown Jewel, as we've seen Roman Reigns retain the undisputed WWE Universal Championship against L.A. Knight.
I already knew that. Well,
we already knew that.
To win. I really did, because he needed it, I think, anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, I wasn't surprised. We all knew it wasn't going to switch hands, especially at a pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia. We knew it wasn't going to switch. We know that this isn't really going to set up Roman versus LA Knight 2 at Survivor Series, because of course Roman's taking a little bit of a break. Not mad at Roman. Roman, you know, he's got to get healthy. I've heard it's from scar tissue from chemotherapy. So
that's what I kept. That's what I've been hearing as well. So
hopefully he's still in remission, and hopefully, you know, he can still keep going on. I mean, I don't care who it is. If we don't like him as a wrestler, we still respect him as a person and a human being. So we hope that this, you know, time off is something for that betters him. But going more into the match, do you think that LA Knight will still be part of the championship picture after Roman returns? Do you think he's just going to get pushed to the wayside?
Bud, you got to get off my desk. Be honest, I think he's just going to be pushed back.
I think so too.
That's just what he.
I could see
not ready. I'm sorry, but
possibly challenging for a mid card belt now. I just don't think. I think this was more or less who in the locker room do we have that's hot right now? Who do we have that can draw a lot of money or draw a lot of fans? And people just seem to fall in love with his persona, this LA Knight persona that he has, dating back to his Eli Drake days. It's the same, pretty much the same character. So I think that it's sadly for him, it's going to be the end of his main event run for a while. Could we possibly see a match at a pay-per-view sometime after the new year that could possibly have Cody Rhodes versus LA Knight versus Roman Reigns and a fatal three-way, since we all know that WWE likes fatal three-ways for the Universal Championship.
I could see it, but I don't want to see it.
Or how about this? This is the only thing that can logically make sense to me right now. You gave the United States Championship to David Arquette Jr. and Logan Paul. LA Knight, Logan Paul, United States Championship match. Book it now.
You know what? Book it. It's in the air.
Because I'd like to see that. That would be a nice little, you know, especially since we both think that Logan's a filler champ right now, so it'd be nice to see someone with actual that actually knows the industry inside now actually win the championship again.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
And even going forward, do you think, you know, by the time SmackDown airs tomorrow night, and if LA Knight is part of SmackDown this week, do you think that he'll get the same pop as he was getting a few weeks ago when he was when he first announced it? See, that's what I was debating.
I liked him at first. I'm not going to lie. He was strong. He had a strong, good couple weeks. And dude, it just slowly, and it's not him. It's the storyline. It's WWE. Just, I feel like they're shitting on him.
Well, yeah, they are. They are. And I think it was kind of like, you know, it was the next.
It was just like what you said literally 10 seconds ago. They're seeing who's big enough to go against Roman Reigns. That's it.
Exactly.
That's all it is.
So with that being said, you know, like we've been talking about with Roman taking some time off, who do you think will be his next victim that he will defeat to retain his championship?
Man, you know what? Let me pull up this list of people on this roster.
Not just that, but we've already seen the list of who he's all beaten.
We've seen literally all of them, everyone.
Just about. And even now, I mean, on that list you had Daniel Bryan and Cesaro, who are no longer with the company and work for AEW. Right. I mean, this is how long this storyline has been going on. Edge no longer works for the company. He was on that, you know, list too. So it's like, I don't think of anybody in Hulkamania, really.
I mean,
and I think they that's keep when
pumping up Gunther the way they are.
Ooh,
I mean, that would be pretty nice eventually.
Don't you dare, feed him to the fucking wolves, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't you dare feed him to the wolves, because he's made that Intercontinental Championship actually mean something again. We haven't seen an Intercontinental champ that loves that championship like he does. Since like the Miz back in WrestleMania, like 33, 34 in that era.
Yes.
So, I mean, and the Miz, he's got that fire underneath him again. He wants that championship again. So Gunther loses to the Miz. Gunther goes up and faces Roman. That's the only logical situation I could think of.
I mean, this roster is not okay. Wait, I thought he retired. Jesus Christ. This is random. Luke Gallows. I thought he retired years ago, but
Gallows, no, they got released like a shit ton of times from WWE.
Jesus Christ.
Remember when he was Festus?
Yes. Yeah, so this roster, there's nobody on here that even,
I mean, AJ's not back yet, and Randy's not back yet, so
I would love to see Randy Orton just come out of nowhere, RKO, take the belt and run.
Take the belt and run. It's mine now, motherfucker.
You know what? That's just me throwing it out. Yeah, exactly. This roster kind of, it's
lackluster right now. I mean, you don't see anybody that would make it believable. Let's just put it that
way. I know maybe 30% of this roster now.
Yeah,
I'm going to say 40, 45%, but
yeah, it's definitely something that, you know,
that's wild.
I don't see really anybody, because the other person that you would have seen possibly would have been Seth, but he already has the world heavyweight, so who knows?
Bring back, okay, I'm throwing this in. Bring back Santino Marella and let him take the championship from Roman Reigns. Boom. That it's gonna
The
happen.
Milan Miracle.
You no 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 the Cobra, the Cobra.
Roman would look at him and be like, Roman would look at him like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? You're expecting me to sell that?
He sold that shit for years. Come on now.
Exactly. Yeah, I think we're definitely gonna need some more filler. I think it'll be some more filler defenses if that does come down to it, with Roman. I think it will eventually lead to Cody at Mania, but until then, I don't really see anybody giving that big of a threat to him.
Yeah, there's nobody
And
good.
hopefully that's where the Bloodline story ends, is at Mania.
Please, I would be happy with that losing at
Oh
Mania.
yeah, I would be too. I would be too. I think that would be the perfect spot, because I don't think I could handle another year with Roman as champion.
Get off of my desk, cat.
We are switching gears now, from WWE's crown jewel to the week we had in AEW. Both cover and We're covering both Collision and Dynamite from this past week. We'll start off with Saturday's Collision. Let's be honest, it didn't fare well because it was going up against Crown Jewel. I mean, I understand that Crown Jewel was earlier in the day, but with Peacock, you can stream it at any time that
That's
fits
kind of what I
perfect
was
for
doing.
you.
I was jumping it back and forth a little bit.
Exactly. And I know that the ratings were down for this week's Collision, so I mean, honestly, I think AEW knew that they would probably be down in the ratings with that, especially when you have, Collision on a Saturday, and a lot and WWE is doing like alternative pay-per-views Saturday and Sunday. It's kind of hard for them to get a decent grip on rating wise. But I think the only real things that I had coming from Collision was Mark Briscoe returned to in-ring action. And other than that, it was another average AEW show. I didn't really set up any more storylines between Adam Copeland and Christian. I didn't set up any more of that, which, like I said, that's been AEW's bread and butter for the last few months, like for the last few weeks. And with that not happening, it's not drawing viewers in either. And I think we're going to see something between the House of Black and maybe and FTR, because
Yeah.
at the end of the main event for Collision, the House of Black attacked FTR, and FTR was then saved by Claudio Castagnoli and Wheeler Yuta. I think I was talking a few recordings ago that the House of Black would make good AEW Trios champions.
Yes, we were. I do remember because I liked that a
Maybe
lot.
taking out the team of Claudio, Wheeler Yuta, and maybe Danielson or Moxley. But I mean, that's honestly a match I could see for hours, because I think it would be an awesome match, because FTR's, they've been all over. Brian Danielson's been all over. Mox has been all over.
I
Claudio's
keep
been all
hearing,
over.
I keep seeing random shit, and it's funny. I know it's fans making it that John Moxley is gonna come back and join the not the Judgment Day,
The Shield.
Bloodline.
Oh,
Yeah,
the
the
Bloodline. Oh, fuck no, he ain't gonna do that.
Bloodline. I kind of want to see it though. I'm not gonna lie, that'd be super cool.
Do you see, since this is probably gonna be a feud that'll probably last between the House of Black and FTR, do you see that potentially being the number one contender's spot to face Ricky Starks and Big Bill for the AEW tag team championships?
Yeah, it might be.
Or would we see a WWE route, like I said before, with a fatal three-way or a fatal four-way for the championship? I mean, I'm just shitting
What
right
is up with
now.
you in these fatal three and four way matches, bro? You are
I
just
hate him
falling
so
left and right.
I hate him so much that I just, I guess I just want to be glutton for punishment and
It
shoot him
sounds
some
like you like
more.
him. It
Oh no,
sounds like you like him.
I don't. They're I mean, for a championship, yeah, they're annoying. Yeah, especially like, yeah, I've seen it I've seen it at WrestleMania 35 live. It was a fatal four-way for the women's tag team championships, and it was the most craziest match I ever had to try to watch because, you know, you're sitting there live. It's not like you could be like, all right, yeah, I'm going to go leave for a minute. No, you can't get back to your seat hardly. So you're sitting there, and you're just watching everything, and you're trying to catch the Jumbotron because you're trying to find out stuff that you missed. While you're catching the Jumbotron, you're missing out on more action. So it just sucks. Finishing up my thoughts on AEW Collision, we had a celebration for the Tag Team Trios champions, the Acclaimed. They celebrated 69 days as champs. I know the innuendo because it plays into who the Acclaimed are, but let's celebrate something that's actual meaningful reigns. I mean, I could see if that was like the longest trios reign for a championship, but I mean, I think it was a little tongue-in-cheek, especially what they claimed with their slogan and everything like that. I think it was just some way for them to have fun, but I didn't really care for it. I could see something blowing up soon where they claim will lose their championships, and I think that Billy Gunn will retire afterwards.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you.
Also, we've seen the return of Jake the Snake Roberts being a manager once again like he was during his early years at AEW. He still has Lance Archer, but now has added the likes of The Righteous with Dutch and Vincent. A lot of people, especially nowadays, if you don't watch Ring of Honor or haven't watched it in a very, very long time, Dutch and Vincent were Ring of Honor tag team champions, I do believe, at some point in time. But both men were also rumored to have been the ones that Bray Wyatt was going to have in his Wyatt 6 stable when Bray Wyatt returned when he returned with Uncle Howdy. So I do think that both men are really good wrestlers, and I think that this is somewhat of a redemption and Jake Roberts' eyes with being able to be a manager again. So I think he's going to have it where Lance Archer is going to be the main guy that's going to be actually competing for maybe a TNT championship or maybe the AEW championship. And I think they're going to focus on Dutch and Dutch and Vincent as, you know, either tag champions or just doing the dirty work for Lance Archer.
Right.
And speaking of Lance Archer, it's nice to see him back on AEW TV because it's been a while since we've even seen him on TV or even had a decent match in AEW. And I'm glad that he's still teaming up with Jake Roberts how he was when he first entered the company. And I don't know about you, but it just seems like we are getting more managers and more factions and stables in AEW than they know what to do it with. Because yeah, it seems like
it's getting too crowded.
Well, not just that, but it seems like when you were part of a stable or a faction and you were the leader or deemed the leader of this group, you were instantly being pushed. You were being pushed to like championship matches and shit like that. No one's really been pushed like that in AEW in a faction besides Kenny Omega. Then again, Kenny Omega, he's one of the EVPs of All Elite Wrestling. So, I mean, I think he has his final say in his contract that would say that he could get the championship match whenever, pretty much. But it just seems like there's a lot of talent that are being overlooked and a lot of factions that are just existing just to exist. And I think, to me, a lot of it has to be like merchandise sales. You know, that's how they're getting their payout, and they're just fine with that instead of wrestling. It just makes no sense.
If you're gonna be in a company that's called a wrestle, oh damn it, I dropped my bottle of water. If you're gonna be in a company, you're gonna work for them, not just bank off of a little bit.
Exactly. And I think that's what they're trying to do is they're trying to just, a lot of these factions are just there to sell t-shirts, honestly. And that is one of the biggest things that a lot of WWE hardcore fans were calling AEW from the beginning, like when they first started. Oh, you guys are nothing but a t-shirt promotion company. Because that's all you guys want to do is sell t-shirts and sell merchandise.
At the beginning, they were.
Oh, yeah, they were. There was nothing. Because you could not go into a mall that had a Hot Topic and not see AEW t-shirts plastered all the time.
Oh, my God. I go to Hot Topic every once in a great while now.
Oh, we don't even have
so back, different, back bro. Here anymore. So different.
Yeah, we don't even, they closed the one in the mall. So
yeah, I know. They keep closing everything up there.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. We don't have shit.
Down here in Fort Wayne, we have a Spencer's. We have a Hot Topic, and it's, dude, it's hard to go in there anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, you know me. I had the chain pants, the black.
Oh,
the
yeah, black. Exactly.
I was black head to toe.
We are moving.
The Jeff Hardy era.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. We're moving on from Saturday's Collision to Wednesday Night Dynamite, where we've seen MJF retain his AEW championship against Daniel Garcia.
All right, can we just knock him off anymore? Like, I'm sorry.
Well,
I've never been a fan of MJF. I don't even know the dude's name.
MJF.
Yeah, MJF. See, I don't even know his name well enough.
But I'm not mad like at this match. It was a decent match. Nothing that would burn like the building down. But it's great to see, in my eyes, the younger talent of the company and the future stars of the wrestling industry go one-on-one. I know that AEW has always talked about how they took pride in having the pillars, which were the younger stars that were going to make the company in the future. But I think that they need to focus on those pillars and focus on those younger superstars, because I think a lot of them are getting mad that they aren't on TV as often, because we have had reports that there are some superstars that are mad with Tony Khan's booking decisions. And I think that if done right, these younger stars can get showcased in a way that they weren't before. But do you see, with that being said, though, do you see MJF losing his championship at Full Gear on November 18th, where he will possibly face Jay White? I mean,
I don't know. Like,
I mean, the casual fan, you know, the casual wrestling fan that doesn't follow anything outside of AEW or WWE may not know who Jay White is. I mean, Jay White is a former Bullet Club leader in New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's won a lot of major championships in New Japan, and I honestly think since he's taken MJF's championship belt and just been walking around with it and having it on him, he actually looks pretty damn good with that belt around him. And I think that if I had to guess right now, I would say that White would win the AEW championship at Full Gear.
You know what? Let's take it off of MFJ and put it on someone else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, MJ, I think
MF, whatever the hell the dude's name is.
I think that this could also lead to MJF taking maybe a few weeks off, getting his head together, and trying to figure out what he wants in the future, if he wants to resign with AEW or WWE, because it is getting closer to his contract expiring. He's only got a few months left, and on January 1st, he's out. He's
going to WWE.
Either he's resigning or he's going to WWE. Either way he goes, it's going to be a pretty penny for him. So I hope that either company is willing to spend that much money. In Dynamite, we also had a match that had Sting and Darby Allin defeat the Outrunners in a tag team action, which seen Sting use the Scorpion Deathlock and force the Outrunners to tap out. I guess what I'm going to ask is, how do you feel Sting should go out when he retires?
He needs to be on top, bro. Somebody's got
to
be on top. If you're going to retire, you retire on top.
I mean, Kurt Angle didn't.
Kurt Angle sucks. I know.
I mean, yeah, I chanted that. I chanted that when he was walking down the entry ramp at Mania 35.
I don't like him, so.
Do you think, though, it will be an actual, like, actual match like he had at WrestleMania 31 where everybody expected that to be his last match? Or do you think he's going to take the Undertaker's route and have a cinematic match at, like what Taker had at WrestleMania 36 with the Boneyard match?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because I think that with Sting being how old he is, I don't know how many more bumps he can take safely. And I think that if they did a cinematic match, that it would be better for Sting and better for everybody around him, because you could take, you know, a few minutes off here or there. You could take 20 minutes off for a break, you know, and edit it all together and still make it look decent. It doesn't have to be all 30 minutes balls to the wall. It could be a course of a night, you know, filming.
You know what? I feel you there.
But I just hope that this final few months of him being an active wrestler are good, and like all of his matches that he has doesn't really put like a blemish on his career because he decided to do something stupid to end his career.
Man, I don't know how he would go out. That's a very good question. I didn't think about it yet, so I wouldn't even be able to tell you.
I do, however, think
this guy right here is going to come in and take all your championship belts.
I do, however, think that it needs to be Darby, though. Darby needs to be the one that beats him. I don't think of any other way. I think it needs to come full circle. I think Darby needs to beat Sting for the championship. Not for the championship, but just overall.
You know what? I hate to say it. I would love to see that. I would love to see Darby Allin be like, yo, fuck this,
well,
doing me.
Not just that, but they've always teased it, and everybody's been wondering when is Darby going to snap? When is Darby going to turn on Sting, or vice versa? When's Sting going to turn on Darby? And I hopefully that starts at the beginning of the year, and that will set up Sting's final match in the spring.
You know what? I like that. I like that setup.
Oh, yeah, I do too. And it'd be even better if it was a cinematic match, because then that way you also get Darby's creative abilities thrown in there too, because that dude's a creative genius when it comes to stuff like that. Swerve Strickland defeated Penta, and this match was just a match to set up for Full Gear between Hangman Page and Swerve Strickland. I know that I don't like much of Swerve Strickland's in-ring abilities. I'm not a big Swerve Strickland fan, but I do recognize that he has been getting the heel heat lately. I know it's not the level of heel heat that MJF has gotten or Dirty Dom has gotten, but it's definitely a building block. And if MJF were to leave in 2024, they would have somewhat of a way to have a decent heel, but not the heel that MJF was.
Right.
And I think that Penta always puts out great shows every night in and night out. I'm not mad at the outcome. I know that the reason why they have Swerve winning is because it's going to be setting up that match against Hangman Page, and you don't want your guys that are going to be in these big matches at your pay-per-view to look weak and to lose, I guess. I guess I could say.
Right. Man, this cold is kicking my ass. I'm sorry about all the hacking in your guys' ears.
All right. I think we all understand it's that time of the year. Then we had Samoa Joe retaining his Ring of Honor Television Championship by beating Keith Lee. And you know what's the most screwed up part about this? After the match was over, Samoa Joe then vacates his championship, saying that he's got other gold to think about, meaning the AEW championship.
That's so dumb.
If Jay White doesn't beat MJF for the AEW championship at Full Gear, could this MJF and Joe rivalry come full circle? When MJF was a security extra at an NXT show and Joe pushed him out of the way. Talk about long-term storytelling.
Jesus Christ, right?
But I honestly think that if that does happen, I could see MJF losing to Samoa Joe and having that be like a good basis off of his the storyline too going forward. But then again, I've always thought that Samoa Joe shouldn't have been carrying around a mid-card championship belt to begin with, especially in AEW. But I guess that's what happens when Tony Khan has invested a shit ton of money in his men's locker room. Not everybody can get a chance real quick.
Right.
And then, well, I think the last match that I have of any note from that, only because we've mentioned them on the show, I think last episode or a couple episodes ago, the Guns defeated the Bollywood Boys in tag action. And you know who the Bollywood Boys are. They are the Singh brothers that used to help out Jinder Mahal.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yes, I swear. I did not realize. I am serious. Yes, that's who they are. They've been in Ring of Honor for a little bit now. But yeah, this is just a jobber appearance by them. That's all they really are anyways, is enhancement talent. I understand why they had this match, because the Guns, they are part of the Bullet Club Gold, which has Jay White a part of it. So I think that, you know, when you're a faction, once you're the leader gets pushed to a main match like Jay White does, I think everybody else in the faction also gets a push too. So I'm not too mad about it. I know that AEW always has their squash matches, especially as of late. They seem like they've been having at least two or three per episode. So just hoping that booking does get better. Other than that, it was a decent Dynamite. Nothing too crazy to go on about. When the match card was announced, it seemed a little too predictable in my eyes. I just hope that booking gets better. Because like I told you when we talked last week, I don't see AEW lasting another 5 years if they don't get their booking right.
Yeah, they're not going to – I agree with you there. They're not going to last very long if they can't get shit in stone.
Exactly. And, I mean, WWE can fuck around with their bookings like we have seen them do before, but they've been a promotion longer. Yeah, they've been a promotion longer, and people expect not only reused storylines, but also the crazy bookings too. And AEW is still young in their promotion days, and I think that they need to step up their booking before a lot of their younger talent gets mad and possibly ask for releases, you know.
This is very, very true.
We are going to finish up this show by giving some last-minute news that we have. In wrestling news, Ronda Rousey has her first post-WWE match date announced that she will be wrestling in a tag team action teaming up with Marina Shafir, as they will be going up against Athena, was formerly known as Ember Moon in WWE, and Billy Starks of the AEW roster. This event will be taking place at Wrestling Revolver on November 16th. Do you see Ronda returning to a major promotion, or do you see her wrestling and finishing off in indies because she can pick and choose her dates a little bit more instead of being locked into a full contract?
I think she's not going to come back to WWE.
Oh, no. Especially since it's still under the umbrella of TKO and UFC and how she left UFC. I mean, she could still probably come back to UFC if she wanted to, but I don't think she's coming back.
I'm going to speak it into existence. She's going to AEW.
She has been pictured. I showed you that picture with her and John Morrison's wife of Valkyrie. She's with AEW too, so, and she's wrestling in this match against two AEW stars, so it could happen. At that same event, we will see one of the hottest free agents in action, as Sami Callihan will be teaming up with AEW's Jon Moxley to reform the tag team of Switchblades. This could this mean that the former Impact champion will be headed to AEW soon?
Possibly, I think so.
I mean, we've already, I think we've mentioned it last episode or so, that he's already hired. No, it wasn't him that hired it. It was Will Ospreay. Never mind. But yeah, I could see it, especially with Sammy and John when they were younger. They used to tour all the independents, and they used to work at Ring of Honor together, all that shit. So I could see it happening. I mean, I wouldn't say no, because I think that Sammy would be definitely a great addition to the Blackpool Combat Club. Especially with Daniel Bryan, well, Bryan Danielson being, you know, here and there and trying to interfere with the Edge and Christian situation. So I think it would be a nice addition if they decide to go that route.
Right. You know what? It would be, actually.
You have a nice little addition to the Blackpool Combat Club. I know we haven't seen many additions to stables and factions in a while. So it would be nice to see someone being added in. Nice little pop, maybe at Full Gear, maybe. So who knows? I know that Moxley doesn't have a match coming up at Full Gear, and Full Gear is 2 days after that wrestling event. So who knows? Never say never.
This is very true.
And I think that is about all the time we have for this week's episode, Jobber Nation.
Holy shit.
Yeah, almost an hour and a half. Face, you got anything else to add?
Guys, by the beginning of the year, I'm trying to make us a Discord. I'm trying to do it all the right way. Nick, I don't even think I told you I was making a Discord. I've been slowly trying to put pieces together, make it better.
Yeah, it's definitely a process. Especially
this Discord shit right. Is a big process. It's a big deal.
I think we talked about the off-air last recording about some of the stuff that we were, you know, hopefully going in that direction with for it.
There's just things I'm pumping the brakes on, because I want to do it the right way. So
exactly. And I don't want to rush it. So that's going to be something that we all have to look forward to, hopefully.
I'm hoping at the beginning of the year it'll be up and running, and then we'll both have it, and we can just go balls to the walls from there, too.
Exactly. And especially give a little insight, too. Hopefully not spoiling too much, but we also want to have different types of tiers on there for Jobber Nation. And let you guys experience some of the stuff that we want to offer to you guys, such as maybe perks of being episodes earlier than what you would normally get them.
That would be a Patreon idea.
Oh yeah, that could be. Also, that could be. Yeah,
that'll be down the road. But I like that.
And then, So we'll definitely talk more about it. We'll definitely have some ideas floating around, and hopefully by the time the new year hits, we'll have something different to offer all of you at Jobber Nation, and hopefully it'll be a real good experience for us all, and it'll give you guys even more of a voice in how to, you know, get a hold of us and get in contact with us and let your guys' voice be heard more through the chats that we'll have, and it'll definitely be more content that way for us too. So I think that just about wraps up this week's episode. Don't forget to go to w.gg and use code NATION2023 at checkout to save 10% off your order. And we will see everybody again, this time next week. Peace.